طيب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين. أهلا وسهلا. Welcome to our last part of our halaqa series, Be Mindful of Allah, an explanation of the book Nur al-Iqtibas fi wasiyyat fi mishkat wasiyyat an-nabi li ibn Abbas. It's a book on the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised Abdullah ibn Abbas, ihfaz Allah yahfazuk. طيب بسم الله. Let's start with some review. Jameel, we'll start with some review. Last week we talked about al-qadr, right? We spent a lot of time on al-qadr, and question here: if a Muslim does not, or if a person does not believe in al-qadr, would he be considered a Muslim? ما رأيكم? No, of course, صح, جميل. So qadr is part of the belief, and as Ibn Umar said, when he heard the news of the people in Basra that some of them were not believing in al-qadr properly, he said even if they were to give sadaqah, a mountain of gold, it would not be accepted until they believe in al-qadr. So al-qadr is an eternal, integral part of our faith. طيب, Jamil, we talked about al-qadr, and so one of the questions we went over that's always asked is, what's the point of taking action if everything is already written 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth? What's the point of taking action? This is a question that keeps coming. And I'm scared now that nobody's answering the question.
We have to do the best, and after that, we
give
it to God.
Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ says, if'alu, fakullu muyassar. Yani everyone is muyassar. I have some candy, so I have to get rid of it. Tfaddal. Kullu muyassar. Everybody's muyassar for what has been. طبعاً, we said this question is asked, yeah, because people, they say, if it's written for me to go to Jahannam, so I'm being forced. This is how they understand. That's why this question is asked. But no, that's not how it works, right? You not knowing the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the ghaib, okay, it doesn't have anything to do with you being forced. You are muyassar to what has been written for you, right? طيب. And so you aim to do good. Jameel, we talked about dua, right? And one of the questions that was asked is, can dua change al-qadr? ما رأيكم? Huh? Yeah? أكيد? Okay, خلاص, you get the candy. Yes, dua can change the qadr. تفضل. So dua can change the qadr. Inshallah, I'm getting good at this. but not all of it, right? We said that there's right, what's written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, al-qadr al-mubram, يعني, that even that, from that, you cannot escape it, right? And there's some qadr that is mu'allaq, right? And that's the one that's mu'allaq, that is conditional to your dua, right? And so we should always strive to make dua. طيب. جميل. And number four, can we use qadr as an excuse? This was the last discussion we had, right? And we had, we said there's three scenarios. Well, there's two scenarios. Where you can use them, or you can't use it. So where can you not use it? The present. For example, and for someone that's doing something haram, for example, would that be an example? So if someone's doing something haram, he's sitting home, he's missing his salah, right? It's Jum'ah time, he has to go pray Jum'ah, he's mukallaf, he's baligh, he's mature, but he's sitting home, yeah, he says, this is what Allah wrote for me. Can he use that? Can he use qadr as an excuse?
No,
he cannot use qadr as an excuse. See, you get a candy. I'm going to throw it, you got to catch it. Inshallah. طيب, awesome. So that's when you can't use it. There's two scenarios where you can use it. Who remembers? Where you can use it. You can, na'am? Yeah, so something in the past that happened and you made tawbah from it. Something in the past that happened and you made tawbah from it, right? And we gave the example of a person, the story of Adam, right? And Musa, right? So Musa was a kind of blaming Adam for you know, he's the reason why we're all here. We're not in Jannah. So Adam said, well, this was something that was written for me, yani, before I was even created, right? And then the other one was something like you've been tested with something and you use it as qadr. That's the qadr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested me with that. And it's gone and over and done with. Tayyib, Jameel, Jameel. We got lots to cover, inshallah, today. We want to finish. The material. So I'm going to kind of just skip the hadith. We've read it many times. Today we have to finish the last part of it. So last time we talked about al-qadr. We want to talk just one last part about al-qadr, which is al-rida, okay, and al-sabr al-qadr, right? طبعاً, what is al-rida? When I say al-rida, what do you understand from that? To accept something, right? To accept something and to be kind of happy with it, okay? Yani, you don't have any problem with it, even if it stays. So that's kind of al-rida, right? To be content with something, right? Contentment. One of the narrations of the hadith, he says that, know that much good comes from patience in the face of what you dislike. Know that much good, yani khair, comes from having patience in the face of what you dislike, right? So, you know, we are tested with things that we don't like, yeah, in this dunya. That's what makes this the dunya, right? Otherwise, this would be Jannah. You know, a lot of people, they say, how come there's so much evil, right? Well, one of the wisdoms, there's so much evil, is that you wouldn't know what was good. Yeah, and you wouldn't appreciate good. There would be no good without evil. And there's other wisdoms for it. Yani. He said there's lots of khair in having patience in what you dislike. One of the narrators of the hadith, Umar, who was one of the, I think, Mawla ibn Abbas, he said that, carry on doing deeds for Allah with certainty and satisfaction, if you can manage it. So he's saying here that, yani, when you are tested, yani, keep on doing good deeds and have certainty and good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be satisfied, even though it's a difficult situation. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe tested you with, مثلاً, I don't know, losing property or losing a business deal or losing wealth or whatever it is. You got in a car accident. He's saying that you keep doing what you're doing with the same attitude, with the same motivation, and you're satisfied. He said, if you can manage that. But if you can't manage that, if you're not able to do so, then indeed there is much good. This is the phrase that was mentioned. Indeed, there is much good that comes from patience in the face of what you dislike. So now we see that there's kind of like two levels. When you're tested with something, there's two levels, right? There's a higher level, which is al-rida, you know, to be content with something and happy with it. And if you cannot reach that level, then what's the minimum? Is al-sabr. The minimum is as-sabr, to have patience, and inshallah we're going to discuss that bi-idhnillah. So being content. If you remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that mentioned that all the masa'ib, all the trials, okay, are in a kitab, okay? مَا أَصَابَ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنَّ نَبْرَأَهَا okay, إِنَّ ذَاكَ اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا أَتَاكُمْ, right? If you remember this ayah we mentioned last time, one of the wisdoms of qadr that we can take from qadr, from knowing that there is the qadr, predestination, is that you don't, yani, whatever missed you, you're never going to get it. So you're not grieved about the things that have passed you. Or you are so happy and impressed about yourself, about what you have, but what actually came to you, because it was going to come to you anyways. It was going to come to you anyways, right? So when you look at the tafasir, they say that this means, do not grieve about any matter of the world, since we have not destined it for you. Yani, do not grieve about anything that you missed, right? You missed that job, you missed that degree, you missed that opportunity or that woman to marry or whatever it is. Do not grieve about that, because it was never gonna, right? And so if you missed it and you know you weren't gonna get it that time, then you shouldn't grieve. You shouldn't grieve, you shouldn't be sad about it, right? And do not exalt, yani, be too happy and overjoyous about anything that we have given you from the world. Why? Since it was never going to miss you. Yani, aslan, it was never going to miss you. That khair was coming to you, right? And that's why the believer should just do. Aim for what is good and what's best. And then whatever was written for him will come for him. And if it doesn't come to him, should he grieve or be sad? No. Why? What's the point here? Why? Yeah, it wasn't never destined for you. And it wasn't destined for you because it wasn't the best thing for you. It wasn't destined for you because it wasn't the best thing for you. Another tafsir from Sa'id ibn Jubair, He says, so that you will not be grieved about well-being or abundance passing you by, since you know it was written for you before he created you. Same meaning again, same meaning from the tafsir of the ayah. طيب, why should you be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote for you? Let's see from you guys. What do you think? Why should you be content with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why should you be content with that? So one answer is, I don't have another choice. Well, the other choice is to be patient or to just be upset. So you have a bunch of choices. You have either to be upset, okay, be patient, or you are satisfied. Like, that's a really high level. I mean, why should you be satisfied? Brother Afza says, because I don't have any other choice. طيب, if you're someone who's striving for the highest in Jannah, yes, you don't have another choice. تفضل. There is khair in it. There is good in it. Naam. And that's one of the things we understood from the whole discussion about qadr. Because you know there is khair for it in it. Even though even though it doesn't look like that. Even though your nafs dislikes it. Right? And you know, sometimes we actually force ourselves into situations. You know, like someone who goes to the gym. Yeah? Is it exciting? Like, is it fun?
No.
Mashallah. She knows. MashaAllah. So it's not fun, right? It's painful, right? Sometimes people reach a level of pleasure, but I think for most people it's painful, right? Is it exciting to go running in the morning? It's not really exciting, right? But you know why? Why do you do it? Tfadl.
It depends on what's your objective from doing that act.
Naam.
Whether it's worshiping or gym or whatever.
Jameel.
What is your objective?
So that objective can change the way you feel about something too.
Yes.
Jameel.
Mm-hmm.
Jameel.
You will be happy doing it. Like gym, if you are willing to get to a competition or to win a prize or something, it's gonna not be something harmful for you. You're gonna love it and you're gonna enjoy doing that.
Jameel, so what you're saying is that it is possible, and I want you guys to think about this. It is possible to turn something that is generally or normally painful into something that is pleasurable. What do you guys think about that? Is that something that makes sense? Something that is painful can actually become pleasurable. And it goes back to the way you, like he was talking about intention, what's your goal? The way you interact with that thing. And we're going to talk about that, inshallah. That, and you'll read in the siyar and in the stories of the Sahaba and the prophets that for some of them, it was something enjoyable. And going through some of the struggles and pains, you know, and like they would have no problem with it, you know. That's like a high level, and it's reachable, right? The first step is to know that it's something that is reachable. طيب, why should you be content? طبعاً, one of the things we learn is that يعني, believing in the qadr and having that content with it, it will remove grief and sorrow, right? A lot of people become sad, upset, depressed. Why? Because they're not content with the qadr, right? Why they are not content with the qadr? And remember, we talked about this. If you are saying, I'm not content with the qadr, or I'm not going to be patient with it, then you are displeased with what Allah has written for you. Right? Meaning that you don't understand what's happening here. Because we talked about when Allah decrees something for a person, it's the best thing for him right now. Right? So this is a misunderstanding from the person. Had he understood what's happening here, Allah has chosen the best situation for him, even though it doesn't look like it's the best situation, and so he should be content. And if he's content, he will not have this sadness, depression, you know, and all these issues that people deal with these days. And really, it goes back to these things, being content with the qadr. And it's not just something you just fool yourself with. We're not saying that you just tell yourself it's good for you, even though it's not good for you. No, it's good for you, and you should believe that it's good for you. This is part of iman. This is part of iman. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Inna عظم الجزاء مع عظم البلاء. Inna عظم الجزاء مع عظم البلاء. وإن الله إذا أحب قوما ابتلاهم فمن رضي فله الرضا ومن سخط فله السخط. فله السخط." It's a very interesting hadith. He says, "Indeed, greater rewards come with greater trial." So this is one of the motivations. The harder the trial, the greater the reward, right? And indeed, when Allah loves a people, He subjects them to trials. Ya salam. You know? They mention these stories, like there's this woman who married this man, and then she noticed that he was never tested. He's never tested. So she was about to divorce him. Yani, this guy must be some fajr, yani, some mujrim, some evil person, because she understood that the more pious people get tested, right? And so, you know, they were walking and then he tripped and he hurt himself. Then she's like, okay, khalas, I'll stay with him. I don't know if this is true. But المهم, the point is that the more Allah loves a people, He tries them. صح? And there's other reasons why Allah would put people through hardship. That could be a punishment. But one of the reasons is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. So He says, so whoever is content, then for him is pleasure. Ah, so now we understand what we mentioned before. If you are content and you reach that level where you understand that this is really good for you, then you will actually feel some pleasure. Now, to get that level, it takes practice. You need to actually feel pleasure. Ya salam, you're in a difficult situation and you feel pleasure? Ajib. A person loses a child and he feels pleasure. Naturally, the human being is sad. But they can actually reach a level where they're actually content and they have pleasure from that test. And whoever is discontent, he's upset and angry. Why did Allah do this to me? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be angry with that person and he will have the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You hear these things like where people, and these all come from misunderstanding of the qadr. Right? Like I was listening to a lecture the other day and this sheikh, he was saying that a man called him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away his son. Right? And this man called him and he said, Ya Shaykh, Allah is a zalim. Allah is an oppressor. How can he take my son like that? Right? This is misunderstanding. Right? And we know the story of Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the child of those parents, and it was the best thing that happened to them. Why? Because they actually end up going to Jannah, and they get a better child. Subhanallah. Why you have the su'ul dhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right? One of the reasons why they should be content is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them pleasure, even in difficult moments, subhanAllah. طيب, remember, we're talking about a rida. Rida is like the highest level. طيب, so how do I deal with it? And Nabi Sallam says, إِحْرَصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجِزْ. Desire what will benefit you. Try to always aim for what will benefit you, right? Seek Allah's assistance. Remember, the Prophet told Ibn Abbas, استعن بالله. Seek Allah's assistance and do not lose heart, okay? وَلَا تَعْجِزْ. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. فَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَذَا. Okay? If something befalls you, don't say, I wish, I only did this, or I wish I didn't do this. Remember, somebody asked this question last time. Don't say, if only I did this. Let's say you went into a business deal, right? And then you lost money. Don't say, if only I didn't invest in here. No, just say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. Okay? وَلَكِنْ قُلْ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. This is the qadr of Allah. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed this for me. Because why? Why should you say that? Huh? Why should you say that? What happens if you say if? Low. If only. Yeah, it's right there in front of you. but you already knew it, mashallah. So why? Because if only opens a person up to shaitan's exploits. What does that mean? Because what happens when you lose something? Or when you miss something? You start saying what? Oh, لو فعلت, if only I did this, if only I went, sometimes a person will end up maybe in a not so desirable job. And then the father or the mother will say, if only you listened to me and you became a doctor. If only you listened to me and you went to this university. If only, don't say if, خلاص, because this is from shaitan. Why? Because shaitan wants you what? إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُ. Shaitan wants to make you sad, depressed, regretful, right? He wants you to be upset with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from the doors, from the traps of shaitan. This is from the traps of shaitan. So when something happens, you say what? قَدْ لَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. قَدْ لَمَا شَاءَ حَمْدُلَّهِ, right? Even though it might look like, oh my God, I could have, yeah. I know one of my friends, he always keeps telling me this. If you remember when Bitcoin was really cheap, yeah? And, he was he was like a teenager, 12 or 11. And he was, he understood the market. So he told his dad, he had no money. He's broke, he's a student. So he told his dad, give me 200 bucks so I can buy a couple of bitcoins. His dad's like, no, this is a waste of your money. Don't waste your money. He's like, no, dad, this is going to go up. He's like, no. And subhanAllah, literally a couple of months after, became he would have become a millionaire, right? So it's something that's painful, right? But it's from the traps of shaitan. And he keeps telling me, I'm like, خلاص, قد الله ما شاء فعل. Right? There was no khair in that for you. Even though you would have said, there would have been khair. No. There is no khair because you don't know the ghaib. And you have to have that yaqeen and certainty. طيب. Dua the Prophet would always say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-rida ba'da al-qada. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-rida ba'da al-qada. Easy to memorize. Yeah, let's memorize it now. Allahumma inni as'aluka ar-ridha ba'da al-qada. Oh Allah, I ask you to have contentment after the qada. Oh Allah, I ask you. Remember, because to have rida is not something you can just get heck easily. This is something that you have to seek help in, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learned this from the hadith. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ, right? And so you should always seek help with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا سَأَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ, sorry. فَإِذَا سَأَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ, if you want to seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one of the ways. اللهم إني أسألك الرضا بعد القضاء. Oh Allah, I ask you to give me contentment after القضاء, right? And it's good to aim high. Always good to aim. We're going to talk about patience because it's a lower level. But always aim high. Why? Because worst case scenario, what's going to happen? At least you'll be patient. At least you'll be patient. طيب, جميل. Trying to move fast because we have to finish all the rest of the PowerPoint. So interesting story. Anas radiallahu anhu. طبعاً, Anas radiallahu anhu, what was his relationship with the Prophet sallam? Who can tell me? Was he a relative? He served them, ahsant. He was his servant. His mother, radiallahu anha, she basically committed her son to the Prophet sallam. You know, subhanAllah, what a smart woman. And so she committed him, and he was like 10 years old, right? And interestingly, he's a kid, right? So he wants to play, he does. And so many times, or a couple of times, he would do things he's not supposed to, right? And sometimes the Prophet ﷺ would tell him to do things, and the kid, and the Prophet ﷺ would find him playing with the kids, like he's 10 years old, right? And the Prophet ﷺ is very interesting. He never said to him, like, oof, or why did you, or why did you not, right? So he says, I served the Prophet ﷺ for 10 years. He says, never did he say about a thing I did, why did you do such and such, right? And we do that all the times as parents. And nor about a thing I did not do, yani I was supposed to do it and I didn't do it, have you not done such and such, right? If any of Anas's family, like, would tell him, well, why didn't you do that for the Prophet ﷺ? What? His mom would tell him sometimes, right? The Prophet ﷺ would say, leave him alone, yani leave Anas alone. If something is destined, it will be. Yeah? فَلَوْ قُضِيَ شَيْءٌ لَكَانْ. Yeah, if it wasn't written to be, khalas, it didn't happen, right? This is after the qada, right? After the thing happened, the Prophet is saying, khalas, leave the guy alone. Yani, why are you attacking him? Yani, if it was supposed to happen, it would have happened. Jameel. So this is from how the Prophet ﷺ dealt and used qadr when dealing with people. Jameel. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed is good for you. We talked about this, right? And this is so important to understand, right? So, you know, the example of the Bitcoin, right? It's very hard to swallow and to understand that losing millions of dollars is good for you. I know it's hard to understand that, but that is the truth. And how do you know that's the truth? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided it for that person, right? And it went by. Can you, let's just like, yani, hypothetically, how could that be bad? You guys tell me, hypothetically. Tell me, yeah. We always think about, oh, I would have had so many things, but we never think about the opposite. Hypothetically, how would that be bad if you were a millionaire? Naam, fadl. Exactly. Very, very basic. You could have used it on haram. What else? There's a lot of baggage that comes with having a lot of money and wealth. Nah. A lot of people outside his house, yeah. And people would ask you, and then, you know, you have people, you know, they want to be friends and they're not really good people. And then you have, you know, relatives all of a sudden like calling you up. But you could do a lot of khair, of course, right? But not everybody knows what's good for them. Not everybody knows what's good for them. You guys want candy? Is that what you want? خلاص, I'll give you candy. طيب, جميل. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed is good for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. No misfortune occurs except by Allah's permission. Right? This is important because, remember, if it's by Allah's permission, okay, nothing happens except by Allah's permission. What does that mean? And Allah wants good for me. Okay, so there's khair here. Okay, and whoever believes in Allah, yani believes in the qadr of Allah, and that this is khair for him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide his heart. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Alqama said when he did the tafsir, he says, it is a misfortune that befalls a person. This is the tafsir of the ayah. It is a misfortune that befalls a person, but he knows that it's from Allah. He knows that it's from Allah, and he accepts it, and he's satisfied. Ya salam. He knows it's from Allah, and he knows that Allah only wants good for him. And so he accepts it, and not just that, he's satisfied. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You know, alhamdulillah, I lost those $2 million. Alhamdulillah. That's a high level of iman, subhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that level. Tayyib. Another thing is, don't accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We talked about that person who says, you know, Allah is a zalim, right? The same Sheikh, he was saying that one person, he lost his son. So he went literally in the middle of the town, and he raised his hands up and he says, "Ya Allah, yani why couldn't you take anybody else's son? Why my son?" He's complaining, and he's complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this person did not pass that test. And he was displeased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is not something that a believer should do. Right? So if you are tested with something you dislike, you should never accuse or question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you don't know the ghaib. You are not hakim. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all wise, but he's also the most merciful, right? And he's also the most knowledgeable. He's knowledgeable of what's gonna happen in the future. And he's knowledgeable also of what would happen if you got that. Yani part of belief in qadr is to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's gonna happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's gonna happen if the other situation took place. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's gonna happen if that person, مثلاً, became a millionaire. He didn't become a millionaire, but if he had become a millionaire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. We talked about this last time, صح? I don't know if you talked about it. But you find this in the Quran as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the disbelievers. Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters them into Jahannam, what do they say? What do they say? What's the first thing they say? When they're entering Jahannam, they say what? Huh? That's one thing, yeah. But what do they say? Return us. Na'am, ahsan, ahsan. Return us so we can give it another shot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا. If they were sent back, they would have done the same thing. So Allah, this is a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that even the situation of the qadr had something else taking place. I don't know if that makes sense. Inshallah, it makes sense. طيب, جميل. The Prophet advised the man by saying to him, لَا تَتَّهِمِ اللَّهِ فِي شَيْءٍ قَضَاهُ لَكَ. Don't accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Don't accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is good for you. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you and he knows what is good for you. Do not question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything he has destined for you. طيب, جميل. The Prophet said, and this is a hadith that somebody mentioned last time, is that, and this is one of the narrations, another narration, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, right? He says here, لَا يَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ قَضَاءً إِلَّا كَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ, right? أَوْ عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ, in another narration, that how amazing is the situation of the believer. All his situation is good. And any situation that happens is good. كيف? How? He says, إِنْ أَصَابَتُهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرْ. Yeah? If he's in a difficult situation, or if he's in a good situation, Allah gives him, he's grateful. The real believer, what does he do when he gets something? He's grateful. And that's good for him. Right? He's getting hasanat. Right? And Allah is increasing him. Right? لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرْ. Right? And if he's faced with a difficult situation, he's patient. Right, he's patient, and that is good for him. And that is only for the believer. It's an amazing situation. It's an amazing situation. Another reason why you should be content with your qadr. طيب, how do I know I'm content? I've asked you guys, how do I know I'm content? How do you know if you're content with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
So, by not being in grief, it's not good to be in grief, but for not too long period, and it must not impact on my normal pattern.
But that's probably patience. We're talking about al-ridha here, like content. You're content. That's like closer to patience.
What's your reaction in the first
track? Yeah, but we said that sabr and the sadma al-ul, that's sabr. We're talking about here al-ridha. Listen to what Ibn Aun says. He says, know that the slave of Allah has not achieved true contentment. We're talking about ridha here, the high level. Yeah? Until his contentment in poverty and tribulation is like his contentment in affluence and ease. Ya salam. What does that mean? Yani, no, you haven't reached that level of rida until you are at the same level of happiness in difficult times and in good times. Yani, when Allah gives you, you are happy. And when Allah takes from you, you are the same happiness. And that's not easy to reach. So this is that level of contentment, right? So he said, know that you have not really reached proper contentment, al-rida, until you are the same level of happiness when Allah gives and when Allah takes from you. Right? Does that make sense for everybody? طيب, look what he says. He says, how can you make demands of Allah in your matters? Right? Sometimes people will say, oh, how come this happened? If you think his divine decree is contrary to your desires, then you are discontent. maybe destruction awaited you had what you desired come to pass, right? And this is so true, subhanAllah. Like, you know, like the example of the Bitcoin, I keep using the example, right? Like you say, oh, no, like that would have been good for me. But how do you know that something bad would have happened, right? How do you know? So how dare you as a human being to assume that you know the ghaib? You don't know the ghaib. Allah knows the ghaib. And so Allah decreed that for you. And so you should be content. And so some people, in times of when Allah gives, they're very happy. But when in times of Allah doesn't give, it's different. So they're not at the level of contentment, right? And so he says, but you are pleased when his divine decree complements your desires. When you're given, you know, and you like that, when it matches your desire, your hawa, you're happy, right? And so he says, this is a result of the lack of your knowledge of the unseen, of the qadr as well. How can you make demands if you are unfair like that? And then he says, you have not been fair against yourself and you have not reached the door of contentment. So basically what he's saying is that you will know that you have reached that if you are happy in the times of ease and the times of difficulty, right? We're not talking about the natural human emotion. I want you to understand. Yani, yes, difficulty comes. A person might be a bit sad, but he's not sad because of the qadr of Allah. It's just a natural human emotion. Yani, you lose a son, it's natural that you cry, right? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cried when Ibrahim passed away, right? When his son passed away. That's natural. That's the fitrah. That's from the human being, right? But that's different than saying, oh, why would Allah do this to me, right? But you can cry and you can be sad. That's adi. That's part of the natural human emotions. But you're like, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You know? And subhanAllah, I've seen people like that. And it's amazing. Yani, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that sabr. طيب. Jameel, how do we attain contentment? Taib, number one, if you want to do that, number one, you have to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And the author gives the example of the patient that goes to the doctor. And so when you go to a good doctor, yeah, imagine, I want you to think of the best doctor you've been to. When you go to him, are you worried he's going to like do something wrong? Right? You fully trust him. And sometimes he does like an operation that's, you know, there's some dangerous side effects, possible side effects, right? But you go there and you trust him and, right? And you're happy, you're inside, you're happy. You're like, oh, this is going to be great. You know, alhamdulillah, I'm with the best surgeon or I'm with the best doctor, right? Are you worried when you go to the best doctor or to the worst doctor? Are you worried when you go to the doctor here or doctor back home? Yeah. Both of them, right? So, so that's an example. But you're dealing with Allah, the best of the best, right? And so, you should trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants best for you. And so you should trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib. Number two, look forward for the reward. Yeah, and we talked about some of the rewards of al-ridha, right? One of the righteous people, he says, the delight of his reward has made me forget the bitterness of his pain. So, something happened and they hurt themselves, right? And so, subhanAllah, a lot of times when you focus on the reward, you forget the pain, right? And so you talk to these people who do things like, you know, intensive exercise and they go study for like years and they stay up all night. You're like, what about all that pain? They're like, no, but like when you think of the goal, you forget about it, right? Sometimes when you're always focused on the reward, that helps you what? Forget about the pain. You forget about the pain, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And anyways, I'm not going to any distractions because we got to finish. Number three, the author mentions that love the one who is testing you. Who's testing you here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Now, if you know that the one who's testing you wants khair for you, right? And Allah, he's al-Rahman, and he's al-Rahim, and he's al-Latif, and he's al-Kareem, al-Ghani, right? Al-Ghafoor, al-Tawwab, all these attributes of Allah, al-Samad, al-Ahad. And so, naturally, when you get to know to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you get to a level where you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? You actually don't feel the pain as much, right? And actually, you are excited. Why are you excited? Because you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests those that He loves. And so you love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you. And again, that's a high level. This is a high level to reach. But we should try to aim for that, right? And you will not be able to reach that level. I will not be able to reach that. You will not be, unless we get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more a person knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why the Prophet says, احفظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظْكَ. Yeah? تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ. Get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the easy times, right? You know, subhanAllah, like love can cause people to do crazy things, right? In the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, yeah, what happened with those women? Right? Those women, right? When they saw Yusuf, what happened to them?
They cut their hands.
They cut their hands. It's ajib. When you read the tafsir, like قطعنا, like it's not like a cut, like قطعنا أيديهن. So they cut their hands. Ajib. So like their lust for Yusuf, right? Just one of the senses, looking at Yusuf alayhi salam, they didn't feel the pain. It's ajib. It's ajib, yani. And so the mind and emotions and hormones and all these things, they can have an effect on the physical body that to the point that you won't even feel the pain, subhanAllah. Right? So they were cutting their hands and they didn't even realize that because of how beautiful Yusuf alayhi salam was, which is just, yani, it's just amazing, subhanAllah. Jameel. So that's love can cause people to do crazy things, right? And we know from the other side many stories that people will do crazy things for love. Ajib. Ajib jiddan. Tayyib. People lose their mind. What did they say about love? What's that saying they say?
Love is blind.
Huh? Love is blind. No, there's another one? We need that Arabic poetry, sah? Tayyib, Jameel. Let's move on. Having sabr with the qadr. Tayyib, Jameel. What is sabr? طيب الصبر علي رضي الله عنه he says patience is Ali gave a very nice metaphor رضي الله عنه. He says that patience in relation to belief is like the head in relation to the body. The body, if the head falls off, what happens? The body walks, or what happens if the head falls off? you guys are doubtful. If the head falls, the body falls, صح? if your head is cut off, your body, yeah, you guys watch too many zombie movies. If the head falls off, خلاص, the body falls off, the body is dead, صح? And that is exactly what patience is to iman. If there is no patience, there's no iman. If there's no patience, there is no iman. And so a person who has no patience is like a person who has no head. And so patience is one of the most important things when it comes to al-iman, because al-iman demands from you to have patience. Al-iman demands for you to have patience. To have patience in the ghaib and to have patience with the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib. We talked about al-ridha. Now we're going to a lesser level. So remember, he said that, try to be happy and satisfied with the qadr of Allah. But if you can't, okay, at least be patient, because there's a lot of good that comes from patience, okay? Now, what is the difference between patience and contentment? Number one, being content is something that is preferred and highly recommended. We said that al-ridha is What is recommended and preferred, Jameel? Being patient is an obligation. Al-sabr, this is a wajib for every Muslim. It is wajib for us to have patience, right? But what is the difference between them? So patience is stopping and preventing the self from being displeased although pain is present, right? So something happens to you and you have that pain, but you're not upset with what happened. And you're not upset with what Allah decreed for you, because that would be a sin, right? But patience is just being patient with that, accepting it, and that's it, while there's still that pain, right, in the present. Al-ridha, right, contentment, which we just talked about, results in the expanding and spreading of the breast, of the chest, right, in shirah al-sadr. Even though you might feel pain, that ridha kind of makes you forget about it. Remember, because you still feel pain, but the contentment, the rida, makes you kind of forget about it. Makes you forget about that pain. And we said that is possible, right? That is something that is possible and that we should aim for. What is the word of patience? طبعاً, I could stay here for hours and tell you about the word of the patience. طبعاً, from the most popular ayat in Surah Al-Zumar, Allah subhanahu says, إِنَّمَا يُوفَى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرًا بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That the patient will be paid their full wages, their ajr, without any reckoning. There's two tafsirs for this. Some of them said that the one who is patient, their reward has no limit. The reward has no limit. That's what بِغَيْرِ حِسَاب means. Others said that they will actually have no حِسَاب themselves. On the day of judgment, they will enter without حِسَاب. Right? And inshallah, both of them are correct. So it's a great reward. Sabr has a great reward. If that's the reward of sabr, what do you think the reward of a rida is? It's probably much, much higher. Much, much higher. تفضل.
Mm-hmm.
We used to, back home, mm-hmm.
to say that al-bab al-wahid that laysa fihi izdiham wa bab al-sabr. Bab al-sabr,
yeah, there's no...
Even though a lot of people are waiting to enter Jannah by this sabr door.
Because what is that? The tough...
A lot of people don't have patience.
A lot of people don't have patience, sahih.
So it's really difficult to...
Ahsant, 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 naam. And but it's an obligation. We have to be patient, subhanAllah. We have to be patient. Allah subhanAllah says, of course, the famous ayah, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, right? We will definitely test you. And then Allah subhanAllah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give good news to the patient. There's good news coming, right? الَّذِينَ, who are the patient? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, these are the patient. The ones who have, when they're tested, they say what? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, look at the reward, subhanAllah. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, they have the blessings of their Lord. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ, and they have the mercy of their Lord. And what else? وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ, and they are the ones that are guided. They also get guidance. Three things, right? They get the blessings of Allah, they get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are guided. And so part of misguidance is what? Is not having sabr. Part of misguidance is not having sabr. This is important to understand. Part of misguidance is not having sabr. Is not having sabr. And as the brother mentioned, the Prophet said that as-sabr fi sadma al-ula, right? The story of the woman that was tested and she was upset and crying and yelling, and the Prophet saw her, and then she didn't realize it was him. Like, he's like, you know, have sabr. And she said, what? You don't know what I'm going through. Like, get away from me. She didn't know it was the Prophet. And then they told her that was the Prophet, and she went. She told, and then the Prophet ﷺ told her, you know, sabr is when the thing hits, right? And so, طبعاً, that's why you have to prepare yourself, and that's why you have to seek help with Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, that you are patient, because when it happens, you don't have time to think, should I be patient? Should I be patient? People react right away. So either you're patient or you're not patient. You hit a car, either you say that word, right, or you say Alhamdulillah, right? And so you have to train yourself. You have to train yourself and ask Allah Subhanahu wa Taala to make you patient. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the patient type. What is the best patience? The best patience. There's different levels of patience too. Yani, there's a rida, and there's also different levels of patience. They say that the best level of patience is when the slave, he hides that difficulty, right? Because sometimes people are tested and they have to tell everybody, oh, I was tested with this, and I was. They say the best type of patience is the patience that you. It's between you and Allah, and so you don't complain to the people. You complain to who? To Allah.
Barakallahu feekum for attentive listening. Inshallah, next week we'll be off. And then after, inshallah, Sheikh Ali will start his halaqah series here in Bidnillah. Barakallahu feekum for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then we'll do the iqamah.